Welcome to 2012 Journey to Evolution. I am your host, Tambourine Borelli. This is where the evolution of mind and matter meets spirit. And one of my greatest teachers told me that the greatest of things are achieved with a light heart. And tonight I am so grateful that I have a light heart because it's been... Donna's in the background laughing. It's been a hell of a week, and we're going to get into that a little later in the show, but first let me just say, for those who have never heard the show before, let me explain to you what the show is about and what it means where the evolution of matter and spirit meet. We deal with three aspects on this show. The first one has to do with soul psychology, which is the study and practice of the art and science of human evolution and consciousness. And basically what that means is just tools to be able to unravel your unfinished business in a relatively short period of time. And what's unfinished business? It's anything that disturbs your peace. So sometimes you'll tune in and we'll have shows that are dedicated solely to aspects of the shadow part of us that we need help, you know, forgiving, coming to terms with, and owning for the last time. The second aspect of this show, it deals with healing, some would call it, but I call it evolution frequency, because the frequency that I work with, its intention is to evolve your DNA, and the byproduct of it is what many would call healing, because anything that is in dis-ease or out of balance comes into alignment, and whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. And I like to talk about other people around the world that are doing the same thing with the same intention, but maybe it's called something different. I love to speak about the similarity of things rather than the differences and getting out of dogmatic thinking of one thing is better than the other. The last and third aspect of this show is the esoteric library, I like to call it. It's everything and anything that's outside of the box and that would have anyone that's very conservative raising their eyebrow, using terms like banana peel or nut or, you know, any of those colorful terms that people that are confined to boundaries of thinking usually use to explain subject matter that can't be proven in some instances, but relies on the inner knowingness. You have to rely on your inner knowingness in regard to subject matter like this, and tonight is going to be one of those subject matters, all about esoteric. It's just my favorite subject, what can I say? And tonight, I have a special guest. Her name is Donna Spratt, and I first heard about her on Facebook, and I just really dug all her posts that she would get into. She totally is in line with everything that piques my interest. And one in particular subject was this ancient site that she happened upon, and it just fascinated me. And I called her and asked her if she'd like to come on the show and talk about it. We are going to talk about that, but we also are just going to have no holds bar and just have a Saturday night girl conversation and just whatever comes up on the subject matter of esoteric anything. We're just kind of just go for it and just let it unfold. So without any further ado, let me please welcome Donna Spratt to the show. Thank you, Donna, for coming.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me this evening, Tambourine.
How are you feeling tonight?
It's very energized.
Good. Me too.
I love the three aspects of your show, and if there was ever something that needed to be felt rather than proven by academia, ancient sites sure is at the top of the list.
It is, isn't it?
Yes. We are just now, as a collective, coming into more awareness of the power of these places that are all over the globe. And I find it interesting that we are just now beginning to understand what the meanings may be in this great time of change. It's almost like we are moving in this gigantic spiral, and now we're back to where the ancient understandings were of science and technology and consciousness.
Now, do me a favor and explain for our audience, firstly, how you define and how you ascertain what an, quote, ancient site is and what relevance it has right now, and also how you came upon it. If you can just wrap all that up into one nice, neat package for us.
Well, the ancient site that my friend and I, Jody, found on a walkabout one day is actually hidden in plain sight. And I don't think it is a coincidence that we just noticed it that day. And after I had investigated this site and explored more around the area, it just became more unbelievable that somebody else had not noticed it before. And during my contemplation about all of the energy that I was being exposed to in at that ancient site is, why now? And it can relate to many things, but the one that comes to my mind at the beginning is there's been an energy shift, and now people can perceive things in a different and new way. And I just feel like this is where everything is growing and evolving into. And in order to do that, we have to let go of the old belief patterns that they're just a pile of rock sticking up out of the ground, and the earth did that millions of years ago. And one of the things, did that answer your question?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Well, this ancient site in particular seems to be have some relation to the Pleiadians and the giants. And that is very ancient history, and not very many people research that kind of thing unless they're interested in it or have some kind of synchronicity around it that draws them into that information. And I had researched that and had always wanted to go to these ancient sites, and then one just came into my reality. And
just like that.
Well, it just wasn't like that, because I had been intending to move from North Carolina for about 5 years. And something, every single time I was in the car getting ready to pull out of the driveway, something stops me. And the day that we found the ancient site, I was 3 days from leaving North Carolina. And it was almost as if, in retrospect, I had to stay here until I could see this site, so to speak. And it's just been a whirlwind ever since. We just found it in June, and, you know, my whole life has totally changed since then.
Wow. Now tell me, if you can, what did you see that correlated to the Pleiadians, and what else did you say?
The giants.
Oh, the giants, right. What did you see? And actually, you know, I've seen the pictures, but if you can, explain to our audience the description of that.
Well, they're standing stones all the way up this mountain range, up and down the mountain range for about 4 miles.
I'm sorry, did you say standing stones?
Yes.
Okay.
And there is a group of them that follows this specific grid line. And then off to either side of it, there are specific areas that look like must have been of interest because there's more standing stones and more dolmens and other things that have been built. And the first place we found, we're calling it the chamber site, and there was a big sculpted, what looks like a face, and there was a chamber there, and it has this octagon sculpted cylinder that's inside that chamber. And the first time I sat in it, I heard music.
Are you serious? Like, oh,
yeah, I was like, oh my goodness.
What would it sound like?
Well, I haven't heard it ever. I've never heard anything like it before. It was very, it's hard to even describe. I would have to say angelic because that's the word that's coming to my mind. But maybe if a rain stick had different sounds, if you could make a rain stick have different sounds, that kind of is what it sounded like.
Well, you know, I ask because of late, in recent months, you know, especially since I've been working with this frequency, I'll be laying down, and it's almost like, I mean, I live on 5 acres, so I know logically this is not the explanation because there's no one's music I'm hearing. It's as if it's distance, off in the distance, someone playing music that it's far enough away that I can't make it out, but I know it's music. It's very, I can't explain it, but it is definitely like not just in my head. It sounds like actual music that I'm audibly hearing, but there's no explanation because there's, you know, unless the cows are out there with some kind of, you know, Star Nation band playing instruments that don't sound like your average instruments, I don't know how else to explain it, but I can relate to what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, I love that when it happens. Well, after Jody and I were only there for a little bit of time, and we spent about 3 hours at what we're calling the chamber site. We get home. I am obsessed with this. There's something going on, and I needed to explore it. So I unpacked the van and everything and began going up there by myself just to check out all of these places that caught my eye. And eventually, a couple of months later, we came to what we're calling the altar site. And there's this, I don't know, maybe 13-foot slab standing stone with a bowl carved in the top of it. And that's why we're calling it the altar site. But on the back side of that slab, there are a lot of circles that look like the Pleiadian star system.
Well, I saw that picture, and I'm going to tell you, it didn't look like it. It was it. It was it exactly. I mean, you had the picture of the actual, you know, carvings, and then a picture of a picture of the Pleiadian star system. It was right, spot on.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's no, you know, even the most discerning and conservative of people, you know, can't argue that. It's like, well, yep, that's what it is.
Well, right before that day, I had decided, because I was getting all of this information intuitively from spending time there, mm-hmm. and I had so many experiences with the energy in general, and when I would come back home and I would study the pictures and there would be days where I wouldn't sleep, I would just be getting pounded with all this information. And you know, then I was left to assimilate the energy and then decipher what in the world I was to discern out of all of the information. And I decided that, you know, I needed to speak with someone who may be able to validate what I was getting without giving that person any information whatsoever. And so I contacted Rebecca Jernigan to do a reading specifically on the ancient site. And she just filled a lot of the history of the peoples that were living there. She filled that in for me. And she also validated a large amount of the information that I had been receiving.
Without you telling her?
Yes. So when I was not aware of the giant influence in this ancient site, because I wasn't even really aware of the giants. But basically what I began to do after that reading was explore the site in a conscious way instead of walking around and huffing and puffing up and down all of those mountains and really doing more inner work in the energy than climbing all over the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And this, right after the reading, you know, is when we found the marker with the Pleiadian star system on it, and that was one of the things that was in the reading that Rebecca did.
What did she say?
Well, she was very excited. She's got a lot more information now about the ancient site, as do I, and the reading that she did has evolved into something even more, and it just keeps growing and growing.
Well, give me an example of what did she say about the people who lived there.
She said many, many years ago, there was this small little civilization that had broken away from a larger civilization, older than the Mayans or Toltecs or Aztecs or any of those great civilizations. And not too long after they had broken away, they were visited by the giants. And at that particular time in history, the giants were more of a controlling race.
Mm-hmm.
They were experimenting and controlling the peoples, and you know, that's one of the places where, you know, it was inserted into our DNA to have a fear of God.
Okay, so wait, I'm sorry, let me interject here. It's starting to sound like the period of time in some circles that it's spoken about, the Anunnaki.
Yes.
And the experiment about 450,000 years ago, when this is when the missing link is talked about, where all of a sudden you see the Cro-Magnon, and then, you know, you see our ancestors, and it's like, well, where is that missing link? Well, there is no missing link, because, you know, just what you just said, the DNA was a contribution, and based on my research, there were a few involved. The Pleiadians
have
firsthand admitted that they have contributed to our DNA, and in the 12 layers of our DNA, layers 7 and 8 are directly Lumerian / Pleiadian. So
exactly.
I'm getting a lot of, by what you're saying, I personally, I can corroborate the information with what's in my mental Rolodexes. So I'm following you. Go ahead.
Well, after the Giants had done their little thing on this little community or civilization, I think it was a pretty big civilization just because of how big this ancient site is and how many markers are even 50 miles away with the same kind of markings on it. So wow. There's no telling how big it's going to get, but anyway, at some point the Pleiadians and a few of the Giants decided that messing around with unaware people wasn't very cool. Mm-hmm. And the technology that had been used against these civilizations, and there were many where this experiment was going on all over the world at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Pleiadians got together with these rogue giants, and and they decided to teach these people how to use the technology and awareness that they were being given to evolve themselves. And once I fully digested that information, I then had another realization, well, holy cow, no wonder we found the site now. We're exactly in that space right now in our own collective consciousness. We are evolving into sovereignty once again in the same kind of energy as we're now discovering more ancient sites. We're now discovering, you know, more chambers in ancient sites that have already been explored. And just more and more new information is coming out that we are so much more than we think we are. We have a history that is beyond our history books, and we need to open up to that and let that frequency and vibration of all of that come into our lives and use it to our advantage.
Absolutely. And I think that all of the means and all of the tools are being given, and we are being guided to those things. And on another note, it's coming to mind something called time locks about the Mayans. Have you heard of that?
I've not heard of time locks.
Time locks are said to have been implemented by the Mayans at certain times. It's almost like you mentioned this earlier when we were speaking off air about the closer that we get to coming out of the third dimension, vibrating higher into the fourth and approaching the fifth, that is the explanation of these, quote, ancient sites all of a sudden just showing up. Like, how come no one ever stumbled upon them before? As if they just appeared out of nowhere, you know? And there's a few things that are coming to my mind. One is that, like what you said, that we are kind of tuning into the frequency of that reality, so now it is that we see that. The second would be that it is a time lock that has been unlocked by the Mayan, preparing us to go into the fifth. And, you know, just overall, it is evidence. It is a signpost of where we are going. Those who are choosing to be a part of the timeline of a higher frequency, all of those are experiencing these types of discoveries, just like you. And I think it's very powerful. I think it's very telling. And moreover, very, very exciting. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. I'm very excited about it. Every single day I see the world changing and resisting change, and then, you know, getting the big thump on the head or the big earthquake to move people even further into their heart.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a beautiful thing to watch, and it's excruciating at times, and...
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that part after we come back. In a couple of minutes, we're going to take a break, but I want to address the excruciating part and what you mean by that and how so many of us are experiencing the same thing around the whole world. And what is that about, you know? So, actually, we can go ahead and take a break now because I want to be able to get into that as soon as possible. So, we'll be back in just a few minutes with Donna Spratt and this very interesting and exciting conversation. See you in a minute.
Shine, shine, shine the light.
Hey, everybody. We're back with Donna Spratt. And before we get back into this conversation, I want to give a shameless plug to the upcoming 2012 Journey to Evolution Workshop Series. We have an event coming up April 2nd through the 4th right here in my hometown, Yelm, Washington. And it's going to address those three topics that we address here on the show. We're doing a sampler seminar with all three of those subject matters. So anyone that's interested, please go to tamborineborelli.com. And tambourine is spelled T-A-M-B-O-R-I-N-E. Borelli is B-O-R-R-E-L-L-I. And if you have any questions, please feel free to email me at evolution@tambourineborelli.com. So, before I forget, our show next week, we're moving to a different time. We are going to be in the daylight. 3 o'clock, I am told. It's a great number. I love it. Donna, I know you love it. I always see threes on your posts on Facebook, so I know you'll be tuning in too. I'm very excited to get back to this conversation and talk about the energetics that have been being experienced by most of us. I can't say every one of us, but most of us, based on the feedback I've been getting from a lot of people I know, people that I know, that they know, I mean, all over the place, no matter what country they live in, what, how old they are, what class they are, what creed they are. I mean, everybody seems to be feeling it. How are you experiencing this energetic shift?
Well, it's been like a roller coaster. You know, there are days where it's nothing but bliss, and then there are days where I feel like I need to sleep 14 hours.
Yeah, and you probably do, right?
Well, I haven't been able to make it to 14 yet, but I'm getting close. I've actually slept for 10 hours at one time, but there's also times where I can go weeks with only a couple hours of sleep every couple of days, which is pretty tiring.
Yeah, that's what you experienced shortly after coming upon this site, right?
Yes. One of the most, the strongest energy experiences I've had with the ancient site is when we discovered this new area. And my friend Dave and I went off trail, and I wanted to climb down this mountain and follow some standing stones. And it was a very shamanic journey because it was very difficult. And, you know, Dave went one way and I went another way. And I saw these big standing stones and I crawled across. And it was very tiring. The energy at the ancient site is almost fully residing in the fifth dimension. Well, I would say it is residing in the fifth dimension. And in a 3D body, that can be challenging to manage.
Where they experience anything from irritation to depression to joint aches to fatigue to, oh, God. I mean, and I'm just saying from my personal experience, I mean, I got to just say and be brutally honest, I mean, up until just yesterday, it was nonstop, I'd say for the last week or two, where honestly, there were moments I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. It was so excruciating at times, and for the most part, I'm a pretty upbeat, even-keeled person, you know? I'm usually right there in the middle of the magnet. I don't have really high highs or low lows, and I couldn't blame it on PMS. I could not blame it on anything. It was just unbearable moments where I felt like I was literally going crazy. And I would have thought I was going crazy if there wasn't so many people telling me that they were experiencing the same thing. And again, these are people that, you know, usually don't have those type of swings. So clearly it was telling me something is going on energetically. And it's the thing where the higher frequencies, if we were to shift all at once, I'm told our bodies would just explode. So it has to happen in increments. And these are the times where these increments are happening. And these are the, quote, symptoms, apparently, that go along with it. Is that how you experience it?
Oh, yes. I've heard this shift that is occurring discussed, like we're working through old attitudes at about in 1 year that would normally take our consciousness 100 years.
Yes.
So yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
Yes. It's like all coming at once, like any little tiny thing that you still have left to own, it's magnified. I'll claim that one. I'll own that one for myself. Any little thing I have not owned 100%, maybe things I've worked on and I have polarized to a certain degree but have not 100% owned, let me just tell you that this energetic brings it up from the recesses and shadows in the basement of my consciousness, and it has made it a holographic experience for me where there is nowhere to run, there's nowhere to hide, there's no blaming it on anyone else. It's like, it's here, it's for you, it's yours. Are you going to become complete with it for the last time or not? And that's the choice that I think we're all being given, you know? Do we want to really go to that next level and ascend into the level? Not anything like airy-fairy, oh, I'm going to ascend, you know, like whales in space or something, but just very matter-of-factly, ascending is what? It's raising. Raising what? Raising your frequency, raising your attitude, raising your way of being to a higher version of yourself. So, yeah, when you polarize those lower vibrational attitudes, it can be just a very painful experience.
It sure can, and I agree, and we really have to remember to have compassion with ourselves more than ever, because the energy is shifting and is so strong right now, and manifestation is incredibly fast.
Immediate sometimes.
Immediate at times, yes, I agree. If we dip down too low, we're just going to have a mess, you know. But the great thing is we can just change our mind about it in these times. I've heard it said that 2010 is the year of manifestation. You know,
yeah.
How? What do we want to manifest as a collective consciousness? Do we want to know where we came from and how we got to the point that we are in our collective consciousness now? There, you know, most of the people who are awake are experiencing these shifts. Well, everybody is experiencing these shifts. The awareness is some people think they're going to die and they need to go to a hospital. And some people just want to lay down on the couch, you know, and say, okay, this is something big shifting right now, and we just need to be still and allow it to work through. And, you know, we just have to hang on for the ride and do what we can to insert magic into it all.
You know, and that's exactly it. And if I may, I'd like to just offer what I have found that has me tonight with a light heart, where just yesterday I really didn't know if I was coming or going. And what that is first of all, I didn't try to do a spiritual bypass with it, you know? And what I mean by that is try to just make it okay and everything's all right. It's like, you know what? It sucks right now. I feel like shit. It's my show. Say shit if I want to. And I did. And I just allowed myself to be in that and let that energy come up and unwind and dissolve up out of me, and to look at it and be like, yes, okay, I identify you. I own you, meaning you're mine. You're not my mother's. You're not my father's. You're not anyone else I can blame this on. This is my issue. I've probably come in with it to own it. So after that comes the very important time, the moment where forgiveness comes in, compassion, like a mother's compassion, that unconditional, you know, I really forget the cliche, I love myself, you know, just really get into, you know, I really accept myself no matter what, no matter what this issue is, you know, just feeling, dropping that down into the heart and feeling that, you know, our ascension, our evolution is wholeheartedly connected to the heart. And when one can feel that for themselves, with total compassion for this journey, because trust me, it's not for the light of heart. There are beings that fear to come down here and experience this experience here, and we are revered, I'm told, across the galaxy for experiencing this journey here. So I just can't emphasize enough how important it is to acknowledge yourself for going through this play that we're doing on this stage here, and playing the part that you're playing, and accepting and honoring those who are on the stage with you, whether they're playing your enemy or your necromancer or your lover or your best friend. Honor them for playing their part, and know that we're all here with the same intention. And at the end of the day, when the curtain closes, we all can go have a beer together in the 23rd universe and laugh about everything we're going through now, you know, and thank God I can laugh about it today. So, you know, if it helps anyone, just do those few steps, just try it, you know, and see if it works for you. It worked for me, and God, it feels so much better to just be able to laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I giggle all the time. I've really been trying not to giggle so much on the show because it probably sounds funny on the air, but...
Oh, please, I love it. Giggle, giggle, giggle. It's my favorite.
It's all been very exciting to me, and it's every single day is a new experience. And, you know, one of the things... just to go back to the ancient site energy just a little bit, because, and I just want to let everybody know that we are all ancient sites, and we're all sacred ancient sites. Our DNA has every single thing, every memory, everything that we've ever done stored in it. And when we go into these places that have been built by ancient people, we are intermingling our own energy grid with all of the knowledge that is being stored at those places. And so DNA can change very, very fast in those kinds of situations. And that's one of the benefits of, you know, being able to interact with ancient sites. And you can also utilize that energy to do grid work and just all sorts of other awesome things.
Well, to corroborate what you just said, in my research, which specifically at the moment is regarding our original 12 layers of DNA, the DNA that was contributed by beings from elsewhere, but within that experiment that you spoke of, was truncated, was deactivated, leaving us with our double helix. Also deactivating the five seals, or as people refer them to, chakras outside of our body, not coincidentally equaling 12 also. 12 and 12 originally was designed to plug into each other, kind of like a broadband connection. So to corroborate what you said in regard to the DNA and activating it, within those 12 layers, right, say the human genome, they say that 97% is junk. It's because they have no instruments to measure what it does because it is interdimensional. There's only 3% that is actually protein encoding layers. The rest literally are the other versions of ourselves that you spoke of, the ancient parts of ourselves that are happening all now, because as we know in quantum physics, all time is now. So those versions of ourselves that are interacting in an ancient time are literally existing at this moment. And when you consciously become aware of that, say when you're at that site and you know that, and you can call on those layers. This is what's so exciting to me. Learning the names of those layers. The, say for instance, the fourth and fifth layer. It's our personal Akashic record, who we have been every time on Earth, however many times that is. It is written within those layers of DNA. So being physically at that site and consciously commanding and calling forth that written record within your very blood at that very moment is the most powerful thing. That's amazing. And I think the fact that you know that is even more powerful. So, I mean, I could just go on forever about the DNA, so don't get me started.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, my God. The sky is the limit with it. I mean, you know, just touching the top of the iceberg in regard to that subject matter, it is really the key that I believe is going to lead us to many X factors of us interacting with our true self, you know,
That's
who
right.
we really are.
Yeah, I totally agree. I really feel very strongly that, you know, one of the very first things I recognized with the ancient site that I've been dealing with is that everything seems to mirror there. And that was the one of the ways that I was able to even discover these standing stones. And so everything is a mirror. It's being represented as such in ancient sites all over the world, not just this one particular ancient site, but it's more about the energy to me. It's about being able to tap in to that energy. You know, a lot of people call, you know, channeling, but it's got a bad name now. But
I know.
All it is is really just reaching up, taking your vibration of yourself and connecting with a higher vibrating level of information. And the sky is the limit, because I don't think there's a limit to the levels. So,
I think you're right. You know, I don't think there is a limit either.
So, and we're just minuscule little dots on this gigantic map, and you know, we're going through this experience, and we feel like it is the biggest thing coming and going until you step back and expand your picture just a little bit, you know, even 3 or 4 steps back.
Right. Like you said, just a little bit. It's so true.
If we can do that in a collective manner to where we can be introduced to information that will allow that expansion in a gentle manner, then we will be reaching another vibration. We will be reaching another plane of thought. We will be getting to a place where our perceptions will be valid on that specific vibration.
Exactly. Kind of like radio station frequency. You know, when you're tuned in to a particular, number on the dial, you're going to hear music that's specific to that programming. You know, so one station will be total rock and roll. The other might be new age music, you know, but whatever frequency you're tuning into, you open up the availability to access that type of music. So like you're saying, when you access a higher frequency, you totally just open up your whole experience to...
Yes, and your DNA immediately changes.
Absolutely. Without doubt it does. And so then what happens? You're becoming a higher version of yourself, vibrating at a higher level. So what happens then? You draw to you like a magnet, because guess what? Your DNA is magnetic. Has anyone heard of Kryon? Kryon is a beautiful teacher, and every time he opens with a teaching, he says, I am Kryon of magnetic service. And, you know, it makes total sense, because Kryon is one teacher that totally goes in to all about our original 12 layers of DNA. I've learned a lot from him. And if you guys are interested in checking that out, Kryon is just a wealth of information. And I think it was him that I heard say at first that DNA is magnetic. It is magnetic. So what does that mean? Everything from your unresolved issues to you growing out of your unresolved issues to being a higher version of yourself, whatever state that you're in, you are going to draw to you like a what? Like a magnet. Things that are playing on that radio station. So that means people. That means situations. Everything that has to do with whatever vibration that is, that's what you're going to get. You know, so you're totally right on, Donna. I totally resonate with what you're saying.
It's very comforting to know that there are more and more people becoming aware of this within themselves, and that the simple fact that you and I are having this conversation when, you know, I don't know how long you've been awake, but just 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, I had never used the word consciousness in my vocabulary. So anybody can do it. You know, you just have to be steadfast and take the chaos as it comes, because, you know, the people who have let some beliefs go, they can certainly testify, as I can, that your world crumbles because you have to let go of your old knowns before any new unknowns can come into your life.
Oh, my God, you are totally nailing it. That is totally it. And what do we resist? We resist change because why? Change is, I almost said another colorful word in the vocabulary, but change is uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. It's at times the pain of death and the pain of giving birth for any woman who has done it. You know, it's Absolutely that. But I was telling a friend today on the phone, we were talking just about this, and I said, every time I continue to walk forward in a risk, you know, of leaving a present reality that I was outgrowing, although was resistant to leave the comfort of it, every time I chose to risk and go forward into the unknown, the reality I stepped into was 100% every time more greater and more vast and more enriching than the one that I was afraid to leave. So keeping that in mind, every time I'm scared, like recently in this last shift that I've been in, I keep that in mind, and it's the only thing that keeps me thrusting forward, forging ahead, is the promise of that new reality being better than the one that you're afraid to let go of.
Exactly, and sometimes you don't even have to take a full step. Sometimes you just have to lean. You just have to lean into it.
Oh, my God. That is so you true.
The support is there.
Let me just give you an example. Yesterday, when I was like totally having a nervous breakdown, I mean, everything and anything that you can imagine happened all at once. I was in my laundry room just literally just showing out. I was crying. I was, you know, cursing, and I was saying out loud, because sometimes I feel, you know, like I have an audience, people that, you know, those that watch. I don't mean like voyeurs or stalkers outside my window. I mean like the ones that you can't see. Clairsentient, I think is the word, that not clairvoyant necessarily all the time, but clairsentient. It's like I can feel presences. I can feel when I'll just say when they are watching. And I just was like, you know what? You all haven't had the courage to come down here and have, you know, this experience. And I don't blame you, but since I'm down here wallowing in this crap, the least you could do is give me some effing help. And literally, because I'm about to just cash my chips in and just say to hell with this little mission that I thought I could accomplish down here. And I'm going to take my ass back to wherever I came from. And literally, within a minute and a half, my phone rang, and it was a dear friend of mine that I thought was out of town, but called right at the right moment, and she totally talked me off the ledge and, you know, led me through some exercises that, you know, kind of got me back in the middle of the magnet. And I'm like, well, at least they're listening. So that was my little drama experience that had a happy ending.
Yes.
Just hold on, you know, everyone who's going through it, just hold on, you know.
Yes, we didn't come all this way for nothing.
That's right. And here's the thing, the help is there. If you could just raise your frequency enough to, and I'm going to say that I think that forgiveness and that having compassion for yourself can raise your frequency just enough to get you out of the pits of it, to be able to open yourself up to the possibility that, you know what, this is all part of the journey and you're going to be fine. You can never be hurt or destroyed. This is all part of this game that we purposely came here to participate in. And you know, help is there. If you could just open yourself up to know that help is just a request away, you'll be fine. It'll be all right. Take it from one who literally knows firsthand. I'm just so glad to be laughing today. I mean, it's like I want to laugh at every opportunity I can get.
Well, you know, as you were talking, you know, and I was just, you know, if we can be humble enough to be a slobbering, crying mess in one moment and then be able to lift ourselves up with assistance of friends and people who are walking right by our side. And sometimes, you know, it's people we don't even know, you know. Somebody will smile at us when we want to run around the parking lot kicking people's tires.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we can be humble enough to be a slobbering mess and then bring ourselves up with wisdom that we learn during that, we've already ascended.
That's it. That is totally it. Sometimes it's just as simple as that, Donna. You totally got that one just now. It's as simple as that.
Yes, we can. We're already there, or we wouldn't be talking about this if we really want to get down to the nitty gritty about it. You know, we're writing our own story right now. Everything is brand spanking new, and what do we want to choose? And we're all having these fantastic individual experiences, yet every single thing we do affects everything else. How crazy is that?
That's pretty wild.
So that is the trick
right there. And this is what I really got, and really what I remembered today that I think really lifted me out of it, is that if I could just get into the moment, it's that moment. It's a quantum moment. It's the power of right now. Forget about the last second or the second that's about to come. But in this moment, if I can remember how reality works and how quantum physics works, that whatever I am collapsing as reality, whatever I'm observing reality to be, if that's hopelessness or despair or my victimization or everything that makes me feel like I want to just give up. If I'm focusing on that and giving that life, breathing that into life, into my experience, I can do the opposite in that very moment. And I started to do that, and I was like, what the hell? It works. I remember. I know. It does. Why don't I do it more often?
Yes, and what do we call it? We call it reaching out.
Yeah.
You know, we have to touch something. And it can just be an energy wave, and because we're aware that that is what it is, and we're not ignorant to the fact of who we are, we may not be able to fully realize who we are, but at least we're aware of what we are. And if we can just keep our eye on the ball, so to speak, and have a center point so we don't fall down when we're spinning, then we should pull through this in magnificent fashion.
I 100% agree. And, you know, touching on the fact of choosing in the moment which version of reality that you want to experience, I'm going to segue into next week's show, which is going to be the topic of Groundhog Day, multidimensional selves and parallel timelines, and how you can choose which version of not only your moment to moment in this period of time, but the ever hyped 2012. How about that? How about feeling empowered about what version of that that you experienced? Let's just get down to business with that. So, you know, maybe you'll call in and talk to us next week's show, Donna.
I've had some multidimensional experiences lately, so that I just may do that.
Oh yeah, I totally want you to call next week.
Okay.
Let me remind people, next week it's at a different time. Our show is going to be at 3:00 Pacific Standard and 6:00 Eastern Time. And I think Mountain is like 2 hours ahead of us. but it's going to be next Saturday, again, 3 o'clock. And before we sign off, I'm going to give yet another shameless plug to the 2012 Journey to Evolution Workshop Series here in Yelm, Washington, April 2nd through 4th. And we have another upcoming date in Long Island, New York, and it's going to be July 30th. And I believe it's going to go to that Sunday, which is the 1st, August 1st. So if you're in the New York area, again, you can email evolution@tambourineborelli.com or just go to the site, tambourineborelli.com, and check out registration information. It's going to be so much fun as this show has been, but it's going to last a lot longer. So I just want to thank Donna just so much for being here. You've made it just such a breeze and just a lot of fun, and I can't wait to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with us.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Donna, is there any site or anything that information you want to give anybody, any email or anything that you can give them to check out, like where they can see the pictures of that ancient site?
Well, and just find me on Facebook. All my information is there, and the links are already set up, and people can just go and check out the pictures.
Spell your name for them.
S-P-R-A-T-T, Donna Spratt.
Beautiful. Okay, sweetheart, you have a beautiful night, and we will talk soon.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. And everyone, you have a nice night. We will see you next week. Same day, but not same time, 3 o'clock. And we'll see you later.
Matrix of illusion, so much pain and self-abuse, forgotten who we are in this delusion, so we continue to play the charade. There's always someone that does it better. Don't have to push and you surely don't have to